Well, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are talking with Lindsay Berg from the Olympic volleyball team in 2012. And we're going to move down into a subject that she mentioned in her story. I think that would be great for listeners to hear, is that so much of success in sport you think just comes naturally, or you just do it because you get paid or whatever, simple, easy, like she mentioned. It's just not as easy as showing up, so to speak. But she had mentioned something in her story about when she was when the team was actually going for gold. They had a very easy time of it through the pool play and then into the gold medal match. But then did meet resistance at that point, and they kind of got knocked back on their heels mentally. And so what I'd like to, Lindsay, is to talk about, first of all, about that situation a little bit more. And then the question I have for you is that, was that controllable either by the team? Was it a leadership question? Or how did you view it as 2020 hindsight?
Yeah. Okay. Where do you want me to start?
How about that one for
one?
A question?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay. Okay. Well, first, the talent. Is that what we're talking? How do you want me to go
from
there to the mental toughness?
Let's actually go. Well, we can go into the talent thing, because that probably does also kind of pull into this, because you would view yourself as being the more talented, more dominant team.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, I think every person is so different, though. And some people, I feel like the ones that are more physically talented that make it to this level are sometimes the ones that have started later in the game. And because they're so physically talented, have excelled in a faster pace, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
So I started so young, and I can't say I'm not talented, but physically I don't have some of the jump, the quickness that other people have, yet I'm talented because I've played for so long and have so much experience and have skill where I can close my eyes and play in a volleyball game. So I think that's a different talent. And I think everyone has a different story. And I think throughout their stories, kind of how you got there, kind of, I don't know how to say this, but it all comes together, say in that gold medal match. All of us had different stories of our way of getting to that match and that level. And as a team putting it all together, not everyone knows how to dig deep the same way or come together in the same way. And I think that's what happened with us, is we were a little unexperienced, even though we had half a veteran team, half a young team. We were just didn't have the experience of digging deep and knowing how to get out of bad situations together. Our 4 years were so great. We won 3 Grand Prix. You know, we got second in World Championships, or we did great, and we didn't have many opportunities to dig deep. And actually, when those did come up, we didn't do them well. So I don't know where you go to figure out how to do that other than being in the experience of doing it. And I just think sometimes we weren't as close of a team as we thought we were, and that our success kind of overshadowed maybe some things that we needed to get a gold medal, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. You know, the
and
question I have for you is when
come
you...
from... Go ahead.
No, totally fine. Keep going.
No, I just think that comes from sometimes like each person's story. And yeah. Some people haven't had to deal with as much as others have. And some people, it's been an easier road than others. And I think you have to, as a team, come together and all figure out, like, how hard you're working for each other out there. And it's not only about your story anymore. It's about the team's story. And I think that's what we might have lacked a little bit.
Now, the piece that I want to kind of come back to is that now looking back on it, you can start to put the pieces together. And I think it's a fantastic point that all these people are coming together as one, and how they got there and what their environment they grew up in influences that. Now, the question for you, because you were the captain of the team, so I think that usually means some sort of leadership role, if you will.
Yeah.
How much do you feel that that's influenced by the leader, and what things did you attempt, and what things succeeded, and what things failed?
Yeah, I haven't gone as far to completely break down that match. It's still pretty difficult, and it's still, you know, there's a lot of questions. I think I know what happened, but then it's like, okay, that's my opinion of what happened. I think my coach has another reason, and so on and so forth. But as a leader of that team, it was mainly to keep the composure and keep everyone fighting for each other and not going. It's hard when you have a group of athletes and each person is the best at what they do, and then we're coming together and you've got to, you know, take a step back sometimes because that person needs to shine, or you can't always shine for a team to do well as one each individual. So I think it was trying to keep everyone shining together with this team. Just we had so many good players, and it goes even to our bench. It goes even to the girls that got cut at the last moment. I mean, we had amazing talent and amazing experience, and that was my job, was kind of to keep everyone even keeled and together. And, you know, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, but let me do something for the team. And it's hard to say if I failed at that in the gold medal match or if I did well, or I just think we didn't dig deep enough and we weren't selfless enough. And we're kind of just got, I can't say we were scared to lose, but I think there was at one point a little shock that, wow, like we can't get ourselves out of this. And so I just tried to keep calm and keep fighting. What I do is I'm a communicator. I keep talking and keep fighting and never look at my face that I'm giving up. And that was my job. And I think I did that, and I don't know. It would be interesting to hear it from other teammates. I don't know if I want to, but, you know, we haven't really talked about it that much, especially with each other. And I think once I join the team again, there will be some discussions. I think that's something our coach wants to talk about and wants to know why, and we need to figure out why so it doesn't happen again. And I think it's complicated. I think there's so many aspects of why things went wrong, or I can't say any of us gave up. I think we fought till the end, and it just, that day, it wasn't clicking.
It's an interesting, there's so many things that are so deep out of what you're saying from the standpoint of, you know, like, how do you become selfless when you got there because you were the best? I mean, it's almost like a, you know, and it's funny because I work with my son, who's 16, you know, and everybody wants to be the Division I recruit, and we want to be this and this, and if somebody else is better than them, well, we can't have that on the team because we need to be our own, you know what I mean?
Right.
But there's so much to be said.
Interesting.
That if there's nine Division I recruits out of 10, you all still can be recruited Division I. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not a something in society today, you know, that's encouraged to be selfless.
Yeah, and I think I'm fortunate that in my position in volleyball as a setter, you have to be. There's no way you can be worried about yourself and you don't score points. You know, everything about my position is helping the next person. And I think that's obviously helped me as a leader and just in my game and my selflessness. Because my position is that person. But, you know, I can't imagine if I was the big killer and getting all the points. You know, it's a whole different look and a whole different confidence, I think.
And now let's go to the confidence question because it's more at an individual level. But
you say,
well, I'm the setter, I need to be selfless. But on the other hand, there are thousands of setters in the world. How do you become confident that you're the best?
I'm still not confident I'm the best certain days. I think I've mastered my position, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
There's still obviously so many people more physical, so many people that can do things that I can't do at a physical level, but I've taken it to another level of mastering the game, and more in a mental aspect, more in a strategic aspect, more in a leadership aspect. And I think all of those things are so important in my position that I've been able to just be able to pass other people that are maybe more physical than me, because I had to take this route of mastering my position. And it's been a fun road, and I look at things a lot different, I think, than other setters do, and try to figure out things a lot different than other setters do. And actually going to do a camp next week kind of about this, of taking it to the next level for college setters if they want to continue and what it takes. Because I think it takes something different to be an Olympic setter at the highest level. It doesn't only take physical. It takes a lot of strategy, a lot of problem solving. Normally the setter is the leader, a lot of leadership, communication. It's so deep, the position that I'm in, and I've tried to master the intangibles of it.
Fascinating. All right, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about this individual level and talent versus being the crazy person, like she mentioned earlier in the conversation, because I think there's so much depth here. All right, we'll be back after the break.